Well, folks, welcome. Great to be here today. Today is Palm Sunday, which is also known as the Triumphal Entry. It is recorded in all four gospel writings, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I would encourage you to take time today or during the week to read those accounts in those four gospels. They all have a different little bit of a perspective on it, but they're all great. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey that first Palm Sunday. There was no social media, no billboards, no radio or TV announcing Jesus is coming into the city that day. But there were many who lined the way to see him. It would have all happened through word of mouth. There were probably a couple of reasons why so many people had gathered in Jerusalem at that time. It was the Passover celebration. This is a celebration which commemorates God rescuing the Israelites and leading them out of Egypt. Many would have gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. It's thought that Jerusalem would have been a population would have been about 50,000 people at that time, but during the Passover, the population would have doubled to 100,000 or more, and people would have had to camp out on the hillsides around Jerusalem, those hills that surrounded Jerusalem. They would have been camped there. There were lots of people around. Many of them were looking for the coming Messiah. Another reason that people would have come to see Jesus is because they had heard about him, again, through word of mouth. Listen to John chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. Many of the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. They were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. People wanted to come and see the healer, the miracle worker. They wanted to see this man who had done so much. Also, there were those who were true followers, the true disciples of Jesus. They were there with Jesus. And that day, Jesus and his disciples came down from Mount of Olives and headed toward the east gate of the city. At the Mount of Olives, Jesus sends two of his disciples into the city, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" The two disciples go and find the donkey just as Jesus said they would. They untie it and were asked what they were doing. They told the people that the Lord needed it and they would return it soon. Everything happens just as Jesus said it would. They bring the donkey to Jesus. They place their cloaks on the donkey. And at that time, Jesus gets on the donkey and rides toward the east gate of Jerusalem with the disciples shouting praises to God. The way was lined with crowds of people who lay their garments and branches down on the ground. These garments and branches would be similar to the red carpet treatment of a celebrity or a queen or a king of today. They have laid out these garments and branches for Jesus to ride across. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." We read that in Luke chapter 19, verses 37 and 38. And John also quotes the crowd as shouting, "Blessed is the King of Israel." While Matthew, Mark, and John also have the crowd shouting, "Hosanna." This all lines up with what Zechariah prophesied about 500 years earlier in Zechariah 9:9, which states, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It was true. The procession had all the markings of one fit for royalty, one fit for a king. The people had it all right, as Jesus is a king. In fact, he is the King of Kings. Yet, as right as the crowd had it, many of them had it all wrong. Let me explain. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means "save us." The crowd was looking for a king that would save them, but not from their sins, not save them spiritually. They wanted a king who would rescue them from the oppression of their physical enemies, like the Roman Empire. They thought one who could heal and one who could raise someone to life again would surely be able to lead them to defeat the Romans. This explains how many of the crowd could shout to Jesus, "Hosanna, Hosanna," on Palm Sunday, and then a few days later, 5 days exactly later, they are condemning Jesus by shouting, "Crucify him," on Good Friday before Pilate. The praises many that day had for Jesus were lukewarm at best. For the most part, they were just following the lead of others, as the disciples shouted and the crowds just joined in. A few days later, they're swayed now by the religious leaders who stand before Pilate and who want Jesus crucified. So now they've got the crowd shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Don't we see this kind of happening in our world today? There are those who profess to be Christians, those who, when they're with the Christian people, act like the Christians, they say the Christian things, they do the Christian things, but when they're with their friends who are non-Christians, they blend right in with what everyone else is doing. Jesus calls us to be separated, different from the world, not to blend in with them. Many that day were only looking for a king to rescue them from their situation of oppression of the Romans. I don't think it's much different today. Many people are looking for a king to rescue them from their situation. On March the 30th, Craig Melvin of MSNBC News asked T.D. Jakes to pray on national TV for the coronavirus crisis. That is exciting, but my question would be, will Melvin ask T.D. Jakes to pray when the crisis is all over? Is Melvin really looking to the King of Kings? Or is he just looking for a king to deliver the world from the coronavirus? Please don't hear me judging. I hope that Melvin is looking to Jesus as the king and has T.D. Jakes back on his TV program to pray again. I just know how many times before Jesus became my king in my life that I would pray to God when things were all messed up in my life. If I was honest, I was just looking for a king to deliver me from my situation. Over the years, I have known people who show up at church only when things become challenging in their lives. They're hoping that their sacrifice of coming to church will be enough. It will appease the king for their situation, hoping that the king will deliver them from the situation they find themselves in. Another aspect of this is that some want Jesus only to be king of certain situations. You know, we say, Jesus, come and be king of my life on Sunday morning or when I'm doing my Bible reading, but not at my time of work or my leisure time or my finances or at my home or in my addiction or some other area of our lives. We compartmentalize our faith. Look, you can become king of all these areas in my life, but you cannot be king of this area or these areas. Jesus wants to be king of every area, all of our life. Jesus wants to and needs to be more than just king of our situation. He needs to be king of our entire life, king of our heart. I know I use this verse a lot, but isn't that what he is saying when Jesus tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? The writer of Proverbs declares it this way: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Making Jesus king of our hearts is trusting everything we do to him and everything we have to him. It's trusting our entire lives to him. It is walking daily, or should I say, every minute with Jesus right there in our hearts, listening to what he has to say, following his directions. Along with this, we can listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Isn't that's so true? When we just want Jesus to be king of our situation, our hearts are focused on the situation and not on Jesus. He doesn't really have our whole heart. As many that first Palm Sunday were focused on making Jesus king of the situation, we see that their hearts we're looking for a political relief. And that is why a few days later, when they realize that Jesus is not going to be the king of their situation, or at least not the way they were expecting him or wanting him to be, they could yell, "Crucify him." In the same way, if we want Jesus to just be king, a king who defeats the coronavirus or any other thing in our lives, our hearts are not fully on him. If Jesus doesn't do the things the way we think they should happen because we have not made him king of our hearts, we will put him on the shelf, or worse yet, cast him aside. You know, we only need him for our situation, but truly, we need him in everything. We need to make Jesus king of our hearts, of our entire being, every moment of our lives. We must be people who are not swayed by the crowd just to worship our King, but we must be people who worship from the depths of our heart, from a heart of conviction. Jesus was received as King by the disciples that first Sunday. They worshiped and honored him with all they had that day. They were poor, but laid their cloaks on the donkey and on the ground. They laid palm branches before Jesus. They shouted his praises. In fact, they were so loud they caught the attention of others, and especially the attention of the Pharisees. The Pharisees told Jesus to rebuke his disciples, to which Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As Jesus was King of their hearts, the disciples would continue to honor Jesus to the best of their ability. There's a legend about an ancient village in Spain. The villagers learned that the king would come and visit in a few days. The king had never been there and visited that village for over 1,000 years. Excitement grew in the village. "We must throw a big celebration." And the villagers all agreed. But it was a poor village, and there weren't many resources. Someone came up with a classic idea. Since many of the villagers made their own wine, the idea for everyone in the village to bring a large cup of their best wine to the town square, they would take the wine and they would pour it into a large vat and offer the wine to the king for his pleasure. When the king draws the wine to drink it, it will be the very best we have and the best he's ever tasted. The day before the king's arrival, hundreds of people lined up to make their offering to the honored guest. They climbed a few stairs and poured their glasses of wine through a small hole in the top of the vat. Finally, the vat was full. When the king arrived the next day, he was escorted to the square, given a silver cup, and was asked to draw some wine. They said, "This represents the best our village has to honor you." He placed the cup under the spigot, turned the handle, and then drank the wine. But it was nothing more than water. You see, one villager reasoned, "I will withhold my best wine and substitute it with water." What with so many cups of wine in the vat, the king will never know the difference. Everyone thought the same thing. Everyone just poured water into the vat. The king was not honored. In fact, he was greatly dishonored that day. We see throughout the Bible that God is to be honored. He is to be given our best. In the Old Testament, their best was the first fruits, the best of their flocks and herds, those without defect, those without blemish. Proverbs 3:9 exhorts us, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce." We are to honor our King with the best part of everything. In other words, we are to honor Jesus with the best words that come out of our mouth. And we are to honor Jesus with the best words to our neighbors as well. We're to honor our King with our best thoughts, with our best actions, with our best of everything we produce. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. When we give our best to those around us, Jesus is honored as our king. People will say, why did you do that? I heard the other day of someone who got a call from a person saying that their mother was in need and didn't have any way to get to the grocery store. And as they called this lady and they told the lady that they would go to the grocery store for them, she said, but you don't even know me. Why would you do that? The person did it for that person, but ultimately, they did it all for their king. We need to do everything for others, but we need to do it ultimately for our king. As the Bible tells us, whatever we do, we need to do it as if we were doing it for Jesus, our king. As I was writing this message, I could not help but think that to make Jesus king of our hearts is to be Christ-centered. And to honor Jesus as king by giving our best to those around us is people-centered. That's who we want to be to our king, isn't it? That's who we say we are, Christ-centered, people-centered. As today is Palm Sunday, we have the same questions to answer as they did that first Palm Sunday. We can't be swayed by the crowd in our answers. We are responsible for our own answers. We must answer for ourselves. Jesus has come. Will we receive him as just king of our situations? Or will we receive him as king of our hearts and honor him from our hearts with our actions, with everything, to him and to those around us? May he always be our king. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning thanking you that you are our mighty God. We thank you that you sent Jesus, and he has come, and he is without a doubt king. He is king of the world, king of the universe. He is the king of all kings. Lord, may we continue to worship you as our king. May you not just be king of the world and king of the universe or king of all kings, but may you be king of our hearts. We wholly give our hearts to you this day in worship and praise to you alone. Be king of our hearts. We worship you and exalt you. Father, we know that we can also pray for situations because you are king of the situations after you're king of our hearts. And Lord, we continue to pray for the the severe situations around the world in different nations as the coronavirus keeps growing and taking lives, Lord. We pray that somehow you would use this for your good, and somehow you would bring an end to it quickly. Continue to move around the world, in our nation, in our province, in our towns, in our villages. Lord, we come and say, we need you, King. We need you in our hearts. We need you in our world. Be the King of everything. In Jesus' name, amen.